Good Sunday morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, and thank you for joining us on this Sunday, the 18th of April, for the radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. Blessings to you this day. We begin with Helen Ealy and a prelude. This prelude this week needs a bit of introduction. This arrangement of John Dyke's hymn, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee, was written by Ben Cully. Ben was born and raised in the Springfield area. He graduated from Our Savior Lutheran Grade School and Springfield High School. He has a degree in music education from Concordia College in Chicago, and he's the managing editor at the Hal Leonard Music Publishing Company in Milwaukee. Please enjoy now this prelude created by a local artist with Helen Ealy on the organ. This morning is a call to worship and an opening prayer. I'd like you to listen to a song titled, Breathe. In the Hebrew tradition, the word for breath is ruah. And when the word is applied to the breath of God, it refers to God's spirit. The people believe that every breath you take, you are breathing in the spirit of God. So please, take some deep breaths and listen to this song, Breathe.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me.
Smith was a high school teacher who was let go because, well, he talked about Jesus too much in his public classroom. Unemployed, with lots of bills to pay and a family with needs, he was reading one day from Isaiah 52, verse 7, which talks about your God reign. He had dabbled in writing some music before, but he used this verse to inspire the writing of the song, which we're about to do this morning with the help of the TPC choir. The song is titled Our God Reigns. Leonard went on to write music professionally to the glory of God. Please join us this morning with Our God Reigns. Scripture reading today is taken from Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 16. Now let me remind you a little bit of the backstory here. Jesus has already ascended into heaven, and the disciples have been challenged to create and grow his church on the earth. A period of 50 days have passed, and the Holy Spirit enters a room where they're all gathered, and they begin to be filled with that Spirit. Sometime later, Peter and John are heading for afternoon prayers at the temple, and they're now filled with this Spirit when they encounter a person sitting at one of the gates in the entrance to Jerusalem. This particular person was unable to walk and was begging. They healed him. And Peter and John react to the crowd as the crowd reacts to him being healed. Please listen to their words. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if by your own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see." May God bless the reading of this word for us this day. Amen. Ruth K. Jones was a pastor's wife and a self-taught pianist and organist. She would spend days studying the scriptures. Two verses that particularly jumped out to her in meaning were 2 Timothy 3:1, which talks about the perils of the last days, and Hebrews 6:19, which talks about Jesus being our anchor. Ruth would write 15 songs, but her most famous would be the one that the TPC team now leads us in as special music titled, In Times Like These.
In times like these, you need Savior in times like these. You need an anchor, be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle, be very sure. Grips the solid rock.
Please pray with me. Lord, let now the words which come from my mouth and the meditation which falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Today I want to identify people whom I call watchers, walkers, or worshipers. Let's talk about each one and how they impact the work of God in the world today. There's a story told of a teacher who was asking her class to talk about the job one or both of her parents did. One person raised their hand and said, "My dad is a watcher." The teacher then asks, "Oh, do you mean perhaps he's a watchman, like a night watchman?" "No, he just watches. He watches TV. He watches my mom do all the work around the house and pay all the bills. He watches me play both inside and outside. He watches a lot of sports games. He even watches as we leave each Sunday to go to church. He just watches." The student then went on to say, "You know, To think about it, that's about really all he does. He watches. Some people are like that. All they do is watch. And those are often also the people who are quick to criticize and even quicker to say how they would do it, that is, if they ever stopped watching. Then there are some people who are so busy watching the smaller picture that they lose sight of the bigger picture. Our Bible story today begins with people just watching, and in some cases so busy with the little picture that they couldn't see the big picture. In Acts chapter 3, now remember this is after the ascension of Jesus into heaven and the Holy Spirit event in Acts chapter 2, Peter and John are heading to the temple for afternoon prayers. In the Jewish tradition, on a normal day, not one of the holy days, Jews were required to pray three times a day. First, right after sunrise, second, in the middle of the day, and then just before sunset, which is what they consider to be the end of their day. We're told it was 3 p.m, so this would have been an afternoon prayer. As they were heading to the temple, they entered through one of the gates. Now, in those days, the palace and the temple and the courtyards were really one giant area, and they were completely walled in, and so the only way that you could get in or go out was through one of the gates. Now, since everyone was going in and out through one of these gates, anyone who needed assistance, in other words, those who were beggars, would place themselves there in front of one of those gates. That's nothing really more than we experience today with people on street corners asking for the same things. This particular beggar was unable to walk from birth, so he would have some of his companions carry him to the gate where he would sit all day and beg. So just picture this image, a man unable to walk, sitting at one of the gates to the temple all day long. There were obviously hundreds, if not thousands, of people who would walk in and out of the gate, and while a few may have given him some help, for the most part, every one of them was a watcher. They simply were watching this man. And perhaps that's all they wanted to do was watch. Now, along in our story come Peter and John, and they were going to become more than just watchers. As the text reads, they extended a hand to him to help him up, and he was healed. In that moment, they went from being just watchers to walkers. And in this case, they literally helped a man get up and walk again. The man, of course, is ecstatic. He jumps around, and now people who are watching just see the small thing, the small picture. He's jumping around. They don't see the big picture that he was healed by followers of Jesus. Peter and John then remind them that the power they had to heal was from the same Jesus that everyone else had rejected. Peter, never at a loss for words, even asks them rather sarcastically, "What are you staring at? Why are you surprised? You tried to kill this Jesus, but he was resurrected. And now his power prevails in this world, and this is the proof in front of your own eyes." Kyle Eidelman is a pastor and best-selling author who wrote a book with a very unusual title. The book is Not a Fan. And he boldly proclaims that as a Christian, he is not a fan of Jesus. Now, that's caught some people's attention, and many heads have turned. But the case he makes is that fans are very enthusiastic supporters of a team, but they do everything simply from watching on the sidelines. They are the epitome of watchers. Jesus and the church in the world today do not need watchers or fans. It needs what he calls followers. Followers are those who are willing to come down on the field of life and work in the struggle of life alongside Jesus. In other words, the church needs walkers. Walkers are those type of people who still watch from time to time to gather information and direction. But these are the people who are doing the work of the living Christ in the world today. Take, for example, the story of a guy named John Wycliffe, who lived all the way back in the 1300s. He was a theologian and a biblical scholar, and he became a professor at the seminary at Oxford University. He was a watcher at first. He was watching how the sacred text of the Bible were always being read in Latin, and that that language was becoming very unfamiliar for the common people. Now, he could have continued to watch and make comments about it, but he decided to use his academic skills and start being a walker. He and his colleagues translated the entire Old and New Testaments from Latin into Middle English, which was, of course, used by the common people. Now they could hear the words of God and read the words of God in a language they understood. All of this happened because John Wycliffe went from being a watcher to a walker. But the story doesn't end there. Some 700 years later, a man by the name of William Cameron Townsend went to do mission work in Guatemala. Both my wife Jackie and I have studied Latin American theology in Guatemala, so we're familiar with the people and their culture. One thing Townsend noticed was that the people wanted to read the Bible, but since they only spoke a native language called Kachikwa, the Bible was written only in English. Townsend could have just stayed as a watcher, but he decided to be a walker. He spent over a year translating the Bible from that language, that indigenous language, into English. But he didn't stop walking just there. By 1942, he had formed what was called the Institute of Biblical Translation, which would eventually take on the name of Wycliffe Bible Translators. Yes, named after that same John Wycliffe from the 1300s. Their task was to painstakingly translate the Bible into every language possible. By the year 2000, they hit a milestone of translating the Bible into over 500 different languages. Now they're working diligently to translate the Bible into all the language in the world by 2025. And believe it or not, there are still more than 2,000 different languages. They are more than watchers, they are walkers. And maybe even so often they have to be runners. But there's something else that happens to one when they move from being a Christian, of being just a watcher, to being a walker. Sooner or later, that person becomes a worshiper. Peter and John were, after all, on their way to the temple for prayers. That was a form of worship. For us, that would be participating in our Sunday morning worship services. For Peter and John, there was only one way to worship, and that was to physically be at the temple. Today, God has provided all sorts of technological ways to worship. And in many ways, worship has become much easier than it was some 2,000 years ago. I suspect that their temple worship took on a whole different meaning in that they saw and lived with and worked with the God in flesh in Jesus Christ. Temple worship took on a whole different meaning because they were taught by the Master and they experienced his resurrection. Temple worship took on a whole different meaning in the fact that they had seen God's powers in his Spirit work the miracle of healing. I think temple worship took on a whole different meaning in that they were not just staying as watchers, but they had been transformed into walkers. And now they were worshipers. And I think in that same way, we too can find a deeper meaning and a more powerful experience in worship if we see the work of the risen Christ right before us and we allow God the opportunity to have us walk in his ways in that faith. There's a story told of two co-workers who were talking one day about religion and about going to church. One of the co-workers said she hardly ever went to church because she just didn't have the time and really couldn't see spending that much time each week in church. The other co-worker said she went to church every Sunday. She went to experience God. The first co-worker said, yeah, but can't you experience God on a day-to-day basis? Well, yes, the other co-worker replied, but during the week, I think I probably miss a lot of times when God is there to be experienced because I fail to show up. But I'm still not sure why you go to worship on Sunday, the other person said. And finally, the co-worker said, because God has promised to be there, to show up on Sunday. And I know on that day, I don't want to miss God's experience by not showing up. This is a co-worker who's a watcher, a walker, and a worshiper. I want to thank you all for worshiping with us today, for showing up. I hope that during this worship, you too will experience the presence of God. And I hope and pray that sometime next week, as you watch for God to burst into various parts of your lives, you will ask God to find ways for you to be walkers in the service of the risen Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining us each Sunday morning on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM as we bring you this worship from the Third Presbyterian Church. You know, we're located at 1030 North 7th Street at the intersection of Bergen and North 7th. And if you have a chance, you are always welcome to join us for in-person worship at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. Please join me now in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for every opportunity we have to worship you. Worship is a time to celebrate all you have done and all you will do in our lives. It's a time to reflect on your promises made to us and in the exciting ways you love us and extend to us forgiveness by the power of your grace. Continue to provide us with opportunities to not only watch your interaction in the world, but to also be walkers, to use our skills and abilities in service to you and in the kingdom which is around us. As we continue to battle this pandemic and as the seasons change to warmer weather, Lord, as you provide us with more opportunities to be outside, continue to keep us safe and continue to bless those who are working many hours to bring vaccines to us and to take care of those who have contracted this disease. And we do take a moment as well to remember all those families who have suffered a loss from this disease. Watch over all the ministry programs, not only at Third Presbyterian Church, but also in the work that's done by all the churches and all the denominations in the Springfield area. Create many who are not only watchers, but walkers, and who will also become worshipers. Now, Lord, bless us this day in the name of the risen Lord, whose power to transform the world came into the world and is present in and all around the world for us today. Amen. We send you out this morning with a song that came from a poem written by a primary school teacher in a Presbyterian church by the name of Eliza Edmonds Hewitt. Even though she struggled with a debilitating spinal issue, she went on to also become the superintendent of a Sunday school program. This hymn is based on Philippians 3:10. So please join the TPC choir as they lead us in More About Jesus. Bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Amen. Thank you again for worshiping with us this day, and we extend a special thanks to Helen Ely on the organ, to Jeff Prince, our music director, to the TPC choir and the TPC praise team. A big thanks to our AV crew of Scott Humphreys, our production manager, who is joined with Seth Hood, Daquan Stamps, and Braden Prince. And of course, as always, thanks to Matt Miller for all his post-production work. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, the pastor here at TPC. Have a blessed week, and please remember to stay safe out there.